Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Love that foreign money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. When they asked Willie Sutton why he robbed banks, Sutton famously replied, "Because that's where the money is." These days, the big investment banks don't have the money they used to. It went up in smoke when those subprime mortgages exploded. So to replace it, you go where the money is. Sovereign wealth funds. Citigroup got more than $7 billion from Abu Dhabi. This week, Morgan Stanley got $5 billion from China. This morning, the Wall Street Journal reports Merrill Lynch is getting $5 billion from Singapore. Stock markets in Asia moved higher overnight. Major European markets are up as well. Late yesterday, the maker of BlackBerry, Research in Motion, reported some strong earnings. Tech stocks were the big winners yesterday. That vaulted the NASDAQ up about 40 points, or 1.5%. We had the Dow gaining 38 to 13,245. The S&P picked up about 7 points. Within days, the Department of Homeland Security is expected to finalize plans for a domestic satellite surveillance program. Some in Congress are concerned about privacy. There's also concern about another government initiative, a multi-billion dollar cybersecurity plan. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
The government has been the target of recent high-profile hacking, and the new plan aims to safeguard against cyber attacks, not just by individuals, but by other governments. Sammy Sagery runs the Cyber Defense Agency, a private consulting firm.
Even with the hundreds of millions of dollars that we're spending, the level of strategic vulnerability is going up because we are increasing our dependency on the networks faster than we are developing the technology to protect them.
James Lewis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies agrees, and he says rolling out the new plan has been tricky because of recent concerns about government spying.
There's just an atmosphere of distrust now. You can't blame people.
Lewis says the new U.S. plan will deal initially with protecting government infrastructure, leaving the private sector to fend largely for itself. He says that's a task some institutions, like banks, are better prepared for than others. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The European Union has charged a number of major airlines with fixing the price of jet fuel for cargo planes. British Airways and Japan Airlines have been cited. More carriers are being investigated. The EU has also been working to get airlines to reduce carbon emissions. A new law requiring lower emissions has been bumped back a year. As Megan Williams reports, it's a watered-down version of an earlier bill, but it's still enough to make non-European carriers nervous.
The European Union is trumpeting the proposed law as a bold step towards fighting climate change. The bill sets a limit for the amount of CO2 planes can give off. Carriers will be given emissions permits and can buy the rest in an auction. If they fly or pollute less with greener technology, they can sell off their surplus to other airlines. But in an echo of the fight at the global warming conference in Bali, the U.S. government wants an international agreement first. Many airlines fear they'll be paying billions of extra dollars and warn that ticket prices will rise. Others blame the congested skies around airports as a big cause of excess emissions. Environmental watchdog groups, on the other hand, point out that airline pollution is the fastest growing cause of CO2 emissions. They say the EU proposal does little to reduce it. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Maybe you know of the popular website that leaks stuff about Apple. It's called Think Secret, and it's been shut down. Think Secret was created by Harvard senior Nicholas Ciarelli. He started the site as a freshman. He was sued by Apple then. He's not saying whether he got any cash from Apple as a settlement, but Ciarelli told the New York Times he's pleased.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNY MellonWealthManagement.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org.
Every other Friday, we look at the music business with Bill Wurdy, executive editor at Billboard. Bill, as we close out the year, one of the big stories seems to be this move by major recording artists to leave their labels. Who stands out?
You had the Eagles, who partnered with Walmart in the United States to sell their first album in almost 30 years exclusively through Walmart. That was a phenomenal success. I mean, they sold more than 700,000 copies their first week at only one retailer. Paul McCartney is sort of an example of this, where he sold his album through Starbucks. And probably the big one on this list is Madonna, who announced she was leaving Warner Brothers after essentially her whole career to release her future albums through Live Nation, who's basically a tour promoter, a concert promoter.
So how does that story fit with the other story of the year, which seems to be the real drop-off in sales?
I think one of the things that's happening on the major label level is that because sales are declining, they're losing the flexibility to throw a ton of money at legacy artists. Once upon a time, when they were swimming in album sales, particularly at the height of the sort of the CD era, when people were still replacing their vinyl and cassette collections with CDs, they could throw that kind of money at an artist like Madonna just to keep her, just to keep that appearance of, hey, we are the label that the Madonnas of the world need to record with. Now it's a tougher world.
What do we know about CD sales versus downloads? I mean, what are the numbers that we have seen over 2007 say about how the business is changing?
Well, in the United States, digital sales continue to grow and physical sales continue to decline. Physical CD sales declined by about 18-19%. That's a phenomenal total. I mean, and this follows 4 or 5 years of declines already.
The next time you and I speak, we're going to be looking at the new year, and I'm imagining that that trend is going to continue, right?
Well, it will continue, but one of the things that's very worrisome to the major labels is that digital growth actually slowed in 2007. So the concern in the major label realm is that that growth hasn't reached a point that it's going to offset declines in the physical CD era.
Bill Wurdy is executive editor at Billboard. You can check out more about what Bill and his colleagues are up to at billboard.biz. Bill, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Always a pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.